Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Becky Thomas and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about how knowing your strengths can help you get the best job fit. We all want a job that's a good fit, a position where we do our best work and shine. Our guest expert this week is Mary Blalock. She says that the people who find jobs that fit the best start by looking at their strengths. Later in the show, Mary and I talk about why this matters and how to do it. Making the most of your current job, finding your next gig, and planning your career, it's all hard work. Becky has found an online tool created for women that breaks down these challenges into actionable steps. She tells us more in a moment. You're a generalist with broad experience, but you find that employers want a specific set of skills. How do you show an organization that you can help them? That's our question of the week. It comes from listener Corey Wade in Portland, Oregon. Jessica shares her advice shortly. As always, let's start the show by checking in with the Mac's List team, and Becky is here to share with us what she's learned exploring the internet, looking for resources that can help you with your job search or your career. So, Becky, what have you uncovered for listeners this week?
So this week, I want to talk about a tool that helps women find direction in developing their career. It's a personalized platform called Landit. That's one word. And it guides you through necessary steps and gives you tasks to help you do well in your current job, find a new role, or build a plan for what's next. So I ran across an article on Forbes online called How This Founder is Creating a Career Playbook for Women, in which the co-founder, Lisa Skeet Tatum, talked about how the idea came from Landit came from her own experience and the experience of many professional women that she knew, that many women felt stuck or overwhelmed by the process and the prospect of building their ideal career when they may not have had a role model to sort of base their trajectory on. So she said, and I'm going to quote from the article here, one of the biggest barriers we have is that we don't want people to know we don't have it all figured out, or that we are feeling a little less than completely confident. Landit was created to increase the success and engagement of women in the workplace and to enable companies to attract, develop, and retain high potential diverse talent. Which is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
So I think something that people often forget is that women are still relatively new to the workforce. While men have always had plenty of male role models to guide their career and provide inspiration and direction, many women in today's world are first or second generation professionals. So we don't have the same level of people like us setting examples of what a successful career looks like. So Landit gives you a bit of a roadmap to find that direction as a professional. I signed up for it. It's totally free, and you have the option to connect it to your LinkedIn profile so that your work experience, education, et cetera, can be imported into the Landit platform. And then you select your goal. So it gives you some options, like, do you want to find a new job, excel at your current job, or just try to figure out, like, what's next? I picked excel at your current job, and it set up a simple profile for me, and then it assigned me, like, a few super simple basic tasks to get started, which I think is awesome. And it has a really fun interface, like really clean. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed that sort of the look and feel of the website. And It looks like you'll be assigned a few new tasks each week so that you can make progress towards your goals. It's sort of a choose-your-own-adventure, and there's a lot of options and services that you can opt into if you want to pay for online courses or one-on-one coaching or some stuff like that. But overall, Landit seems like a really valuable tool for any professional woman who's feeling that sense of overwhelm or fear about the future. I think that having some tangible things to do can make you feel so much more in control of your career, and it pushes you to make moves. It gives you something to sort of take action on. So, yeah, check it out if you're feeling stuck or want, you know, to get somebody to tell you what to do and sort of what the clearest next step is for your career. I think it's a really cool platform.
That's awesome. This is the first time hearing about it, but it's a really great resource. I think it's what you mentioned before of like, there's not really a clear, even, you know, you can, even if you have like a career that you have a trajectory that you sort of know the steps to take, I think this is still really helpful based on the bit of the, you shared a screenshot of your, of what it told you for excelling in your current job. And I think that those are good resources just for anyone, but even for especially for people who are not quite sure what the next step is going to be in, you know, you have a job and you're not really sure like, okay, so after this, what is the next clear step? Because sometimes it's really clear and sometimes it's not. And I think that that's, it's helpful to have resources like that beyond then beyond just like Googling, what do I do next?
Yeah, you know? Totally.
I'm curious to see what pops up if we Google, what do I do next?
Yeah.
I wonder what that search reveals.
Yeah. Probably a lot of different things.
I'm guessing. Well, Becky, was there a, as you explore the site, were there typical tasks or, you know, if people do sign up, what might they be doing in the course of a week?
So when I first signed up, it was sort of like, it gave me like a playbook and it was like, as someone looking to excel in your current job, here are like five must do items. And it gave me like polish your personal brand, starting with a LinkedIn review, or keep track of your accomplishments to make sure you're your own best advocate. Build and leverage your personal board of advisors. And you could sort of click on these different tasks and it would give you step-by-step sort of some actions to take to sort of make progress on those tasks.
Cool. Yeah.
So it does break it down in a really nice way because sometimes you're just sort of like overwhelmed by, well, I know I need to do this, but how do I actually do it? So I think it's really, really good and tactical and hands-on. It's like, it's okay. Like you can do this, you know, it's really, it's cool. I like it.
And it breaks it up into that feeling of like the huge unknown into like very practical steps, which I think is really helpful rather than like, I think a lot of times people get really overwhelmed with like, oh, I know I have to do all these hundreds of different things to like make myself, to get myself to the place that I want to be. But this is like, okay, it's just a couple things a week or even a couple things a month probably.
Yeah.
You know, where
progress.
You don't have to, but and it's not, I have to do all of the work. Like somebody's there helping you. So you have some step-by-step guidance. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a goal being with a click turned into a to-do list. It doesn't mean you have to do it all at once, but it does make it more practical.
Yeah. It's practical actions you can take.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
check it out.
That's a terrific resource. It sounds like. Well, thank you, Becky. And if you've got a suggestion for Becky, please write her. We'd love to share your idea on the show. Becky's address is becky@maxlist.org. Now let's turn to you, our listeners, and Jessica's here to answer one of your questions. So, Jessica, what's in the mailbag this week?
Yeah, this week we have a question, an email question from Corey Wade here in Portland. And Corey wrote in asking, well, he actually says, my skills are broad and very general, but it seems like employers are really looking for a very specific are looking for very specific skill sets. How can I show organizations that I can help them in a variety of different capacities? So I think this is a great question because, again, it's easy to sort of get into that nebulous, I don't know where to start and how to show my value. And I do think that it's true that employers are looking for specific skill sets. We've shown that a lot. But it doesn't mean that your varied expertise isn't still an asset. I also come from sort of being a broad generalist, so I identified a lot with this question. But there's still ways that you can stand out and show your expertise in a specific way. And I have I've done that myself. So I would love to share a little bit with Corey. about how I did that and kind of some tips. So number one, know that you have a specific skill set, even though you are broad and you have a lot of different skills. You do have like a common thread. We've talked about this before, looking at your common threads of what ties it all together. So kind of sit down and think about what is the one thing in your vast experience that has been there throughout. So that can help be a starting spot for finding your specificity, but also just hone in on that one area where you're really excited about. And sometimes that's just a matter of, you may have multiple different directions that you can go, but you kind of just maybe will have to take one and say, this is the one I'm the most excited about, and kind of go from there. And speak to that directly and specifically. So I would say create a story arc about how your history has fed into that sort of niche, whether that is, organizational development or communications or something like that. Like, you can have a variety of qualifications, but then there's, again, that one common thread that kind of flows throughout. And understand the employer's needs. So doing research and having conversations, like we talk about a lot, and really address those needs through both your specific skill set that you're trying to play up, but then also show how your general capacities can be an asset as well. So play up your specific skills, say communications, but then also bring in your other varied history to be able to show, I'm an all-star at this, developing communication strategies or whatever, but I've also, worked for a radio station, and I can, add that to this and create an additional value as well. At the end of the day, it's okay to be, and sometimes it's good to have a variety of skills, and establishing yourself as having a specialty will just really help you navigate that search and help employers see you as the best candidate. So again, I encourage you to just look through your work history, not knowing Corey's history and his vast skills. I don't know specifically. I can't comment directly on how to help him, but I think just taking that inventory of your history and your skills and finding those common threads, playing those up, but also just showing that having diversity in your skills is a benefit as well. Anything else you guys would add?
No, I think that you hit it in the early portion where you were like, find sort of your thread through all of your different experience. There is something that makes you unique.
Absolutely.
Like, I would just caution Corey against being like, I can help you in a variety of ways, but like, show an organization how you can help them specifically.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, well, I can do everything. Like, just give me whatever task, because you need some way to differentiate yourself. And like you said, everybody has a unique offering. And so like, it's sort of on him to identify what his combination of skills really sets,
right,
how that sets him apart.
So, yeah, I agree. To not just kind of rely on that generalization, because I think that is an asset, but you have to tell the employers what specific generalities you have, not just, I can do everything. I think that's a really good point, Becky. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, I can do everything,
yeah,
but kind of use your vast history to be able to show that, you're adaptable and you have a lot of different qualities that mm-hmm. will make you stand out. But you do have to have that one thing that's like, yeah, I've
here's the core. Here's
right.
me. Here's what I
but
do.
But this is why I'm mm-hmm. an asset for this organization specifically.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. And in marketing, it's called the unique selling proposition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is the one thing that you do that makes you stand out?
Right.
Because whether you're looking for a job or you're selling a product or a service, you can't be all things to all people.
Absolutely.
As you said, Jessica, you've got to focus on the employers where you can offer the most value, and it's okay not to try to reach out to everybody.
That's right.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you, Jessica and Becky, and thank you, Corey, for the question. If you've got a question for Jessica, send her an email. Her address is jessica@maxlist.org. You can also call our listener line. That's area code 716-JOBTALK, or post your question on the MaxList Facebook group. And if we use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. We'll be back in a moment, and when we return, I'll talk with this week's expert, Mary Blaylock, about how knowing your strengths will help you get the best job fit. I meet with thousands of job seekers each year, people who struggle to find meaningful, rewarding work that matters. I find that many of these people make the same simple mistake in their job search. It's a fatal error that makes the hunt for work longer and harder than it needs to be. What's this critical mistake? People don't have a clear job search goal. You might think it's wise to apply everywhere, but the more you narrow down your job search, the easier everything gets and the happier you will be in your next gig. Stop chasing every lead. Instead, put all your energy into the opportunities that you really want. Of course, setting your goals is easier said than done, especially when all you know is what you don't want to do. That's why I created a new resource that can help. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. This step-by-step guide will help you figure out what you want in your career and in your next job. To get Finding Focus in Your Job Search, visit maxlist.org/focus. Again, go to maxlist.org/focus. And now let's get back to the show. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Mary Blaylock. Mary Blaylock is a career coach and co-founder of Ladies Night PDX. She helps women advance in their careers through coaching, classes, and events. Previously, Mary was a recruiter, and she worked with Amazon, Microsoft, Nike, Adidas, and many more companies. She joins us today here in the MaxList studio in Portland, Oregon. Mary, thanks for coming downtown.
Thank you so much, Mac.
Yeah. Our topic this week is finding the right job fit, and you say one of the best ways to do that is to know your strengths. Why is it so hard, Mary, for people often to find jobs that are a good fit?
Well, that's a good question. The number one question that I get from people is what direction should they go in their career? And it's an interesting question. I always say that the best way to know what direction you should go on in your career is through what are your strengths. So looking at what you're good at and what you're naturally a good fit for, and using that in the direction to go in. And it may not, interestingly enough, be the job that you've had in the past. It might be a job that, or it might be something that you do in your personal life. It might be volunteer work you do. But really thinking about your strengths, the interesting thing, though, about strengths is it can be sometimes hard to figure out what those are. So I always recommend that people think about what energizes them and what they get excited about when they get into sort of a flow with some work.
I love the idea that you brought up the subject of energy, because I think we've all had that experience, haven't we, Mary, whether it's volunteering or working, where we just feel like we're doing what we were meant to do.
Yeah, there's a positive psychologist who has an interesting name, Michal Csikszentmihalyi, and he has a book called Flow, and it's really inspiring to me because it's, you know, sometimes when you're using your strengths and when you're doing what you're really good at, you're in sort of a flow state where you don't even sometimes realize what's going on around you. You're just, you may not feel excited, but you just feel really focused and happy and calm.
Well, first of all, kudos to you for pronouncing his name. I'm familiar with the book and I've read a number of his articles. I've always struggled with what that might sound like.
Yeah, I practiced it because I said it so much. I was like, I have to know how to say this.
Well, aside from paying attention to our energy, which I think is a really important way to know what might be a good fit for us, what are other ways people can get clear about what their strengths are?
The thing I recommend people do, and this may not be starting with your job search, but if you're in a job right now and you're not even ready to job search, I recommend starting a brag sheet. And that could just be an open Google Doc on your, maybe not your work computer, but your home computer or a piece of paper where you just write down every time you have a really great experience at work, you have an accomplishment that you feel good about, even a really small thing like knowing how to use Excel really well and figuring out a formula, just continuing to write down things that either are really exciting and inspiring or little things that just kind of make you realize that your day is going really well. And that way, when you're in a lower place and not feeling great, you can read it over, get some inspiration, feel better about yourself. And also you can use that when you're creating a resume or when you're preparing for an interview to remember some of the stories of different things that you accomplished in your career.
That's a great tip, because I think sometimes we forget everything that we have accomplished in a job or outside the workplace, and it can be difficult to recall them when we have to update that LinkedIn profile, can it?
Yeah, it really can. You can get brain freeze during that time, so it's nice to have some history. And if you're job searching right now, you can still sit down and do some, you know, brainstorming, thinking back in the past. That way you're not on the spot in an interview necessarily, but you have some time to really think it over.
Are there more formal assessment tools that you recommend that people can use to get clear about their strengths?
There are a lot. I have a list that I give people. There's Colby is a good one, Strengths Finder. There's one called 16 Personalities. One I recommend a lot is So Can You. It's spelled with a K. But the thing that I noticed about those is they can give you a lot of information, but sometimes make you feel more broad about all the different options that they give you, rather than sometimes, well, you always know yourself best, I think. So sometimes sitting down with a piece of paper and a pen can just get you focused on what you already know about yourself and realize that, you know, thinking about the things that you know but that maybe a test won't be able to discover about you.
Okay, so we know what our strengths are. We've used those formal assessment tools and we've kept that brag sheet or done some reflection. And now we're ready to talk about those strengths in a job search. What's the best way to do that, Mary?
One of the best things for your resume is to create a career statement at the top of the resume. And that so many of my clients that come to me have really varied backgrounds. You may have had the same type of job throughout your career, or maybe you haven't, but you can't always fit into a box, right? So when you're job searching and you're applying for a specific job, it can be hard to fit in that box if your last position wasn't exactly like that position. So a career statement at the top of your resume is a paragraph that can tell, I recommend saying years of experience and a job title, that sort of thing. Really focus in on what the qualities that you have that may not be reflected in your current job that are related to that job you're applying for. There's a trick too. You can use a job title as a verb. So say that you weren't a project manager, but you can say that you project managed. So in that paragraph, kind of skewing things a little bit more to that job description by making your job title, making it into a verb.
I like the way that sounds. I can imagine some old school English grammar instructors wincing at that, but I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, good. Well, how about storytelling? I mean, once you lay out that career statement, is it important to tell a career story as well, Mary?
Yeah, it's good to get your career story straight. I like to use career story instead of elevator speech because whoever gives a pitch in an elevator, and I think it just makes people nervous, especially when you're job searching. You want to feel more relaxed and inspired. So thinking about your story throughout your career and what are some consistent themes throughout your career and what does that say about you, rather than, you know, like we were just saying about fitting into a box, not trying to squeeze your personality to fit into someone else's idea of what you should be, but really finding some common consistent themes throughout your career so you can tell a consistent story about yourself, even if on your resume it doesn't look exactly like the job description, finding the story you can tell that people will get it and authentically you'll be telling it and they'll understand authentically who you are.
So when you look at effective career stories you've seen in the past, typically when people are sharing them, how long do they run and what kind of structure do they have?
So career stories can take different forms. So it might be, you know, the career statement at your resume is a paragraph. But when you're talking in an interview, the structure I recommend for telling your career story is actually, instead of starting in the past and going to the future and telling the whole entire story of your life, that can take forever. The way to shorten it down a little bit is to say, start with the present first. Because you're really, you know, in an interview, it's not very long. You only have about an hour to tell, you know, everything about yourself. So you really want to, if someone asks you to tell, you know, the question, like, tell me about yourself, you want to start with the present because it really engages them in what they want to hear about what you're doing now and how that might be relevant to the job you're applying for. So start with the present and then talk about the past briefly to engage them in why, what are the consistent themes throughout your career, and then talk about the future and, you know, wrap it all up as much as you can into a nice, clean package.
And what part should describing our strengths play in that story? How do you recommend people weave those strengths into a career story?
Well, if you've done a brag sheet type of exercise and maybe done some testing, you know, really gotten close on a list of what you're really good at and you know that, then you can tell the story a lot clearer because you're highlighting the positive. That's really what it is, and talking about authentically who you are as a person. So you can sound a little more relaxed and confident because you're talking about something you're excited about, kind of what we were saying before about what energizes you. I notice a real difference in people's energy and their presence in front of me when they're talking about something they're excited about or something that is of interest to them rather than kind of just talking about their job. So you definitely, when you're telling your career story, want to focus on the things that energize you so that you can project that energy on the outside too.
And that energy is going to be helpful to you as a candidate, isn't it? When interviewers are comparing you to other candidates who perhaps mm-hmm. don't have as much energy.
Yeah, it's amazing how people sit up straighter, their eyes light up, everything about the way they look seems a lot more vibrant because they're excited, you know, because they're interested. So I don't think people always notice they're doing it, but if you're just kind of talking about your job, it can not seem as, you know, connected to that person.
Yeah, my experience in talking with job seekers who are clear about their strengths and are excited about an opportunity, they're putting their best foot forward, and mm-hmm. I think they're making a more compelling case to hiring managers when they do that.
Definitely, and that's a good point. Working in recruiting for so long and talking to a lot of hiring managers, I hear over and over this idea that people just want to hire someone who's really interested and excited about the role. I mean, obviously, they need to have someone that's a good fit, too, for the experience. But the number one thing they're looking for is someone who's, you know, really interested in the job. So if you can show that excitement and show, or maybe not excitement, right? But if you can show a lot of energy around it, then you're going to be a lot more hireable.
One of the pieces of advice I got in graduate school when we were picking classes, the advisors would say, you know, play to your strengths and think about the things you want to do and that you're good at, and you'll get even better at them.
Definitely. Yeah, it's strength-based rather than saying, oh, you're not good on this, you should work really hard to be better, and then you end up just spinning your wheels instead of thriving.
Yeah. Well, we've got to wrap it up in a moment, Mary, but I know that in our earlier conversation, you talked about the importance that mentors can play in both helping us identify our strengths and helping us present them during a job search. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, mentors are great, and just people in general. I work with women a lot in my, you know, in my networking groups and in my coaching. And, you know, historically, there hasn't been a great mentorship system in the workforce for women. I think it's getting better. And there's definitely in Portland, there's some amazing groups here and probably all over the country in a lot of ways. I've heard of some really great. Usually they're specific to industries. So thinking about what industry you're in and finding if there's some mentorship programs in that industry can be really helpful. But people are really good focus to finding jobs. So oftentimes, you know, people come to me after they've been looking at job boards, and that's an obvious way to job search. But I always remind people to think about how they can connect with individual people as well. So getting into an industry or learning more about a company by finding the people in those companies through, you might have lecture series that are about a topic that you're interested in. And if you go to those lecture series, you're going to have a lot to talk about in the people in the audience. You might go to get some food at a food table and strike up a conversation because you're both really interested in that subject. So finding the people who are interested in the same types of things as you. And then finding, you know, it's hard to find mentors sometimes. It's definitely something to pursue, but there are some programs out there that offer mentors.
Well, thanks, Mary. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Well, I am working with women in coaching a lot. So I created a salary guide for women doing negotiation in their job search. And so you can find that at my website, maryblaylock.com/salary. And I'm going to have a lot more resources throughout the next year in specifically geared towards a focus on women. There's actually a great website that I wanted to recommend for women. I've been hearing a lot of women wanting to work with women leaders. And there's this really great website called We Are the Boss Ladies. And it just came out, and it's a list of, it's like an Excel document that people are adding to. And it's of women leaders in so if you're looking for a mentor, like we talked about, you know, to work for a woman who's really excelled in her career or a CEO, then you can find it that way.
Terrific. We'll be sure to include those resources in the show notes for the episode. And again, people can learn more about you by visiting your website, which is maryblaylock.com. Mary, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Take care. Well, we're back in the studio with Becky and Jessica. What were some key takeaways for you two from my conversation with Mary?
Oh, well, that was great. She had so
that
many.
That was great.
Yeah, she had so many fantastic points. And you know, she spoke about good energy, and she just, you know, she was in the studio, so she had such good energy as well, which was wonderful. But one thing that I really took away was her comment about, well, number one, I liked her focus on creating a brag sheet or just, you know, listing accomplishments that you have, because like she mentioned, it is so easy to kind of go about your day-to-day and then forget about those things. And then when you actually need to stop and think about the things that you've done, it's harder to actually recall all of the things that you've done. So keeping that list on a regular basis is so important. But another thing I liked kind of related to that was her focus on kind of just trusting yourself and knowing that you are going to know yourself the best rather than relying on, you know, personality tests or other people to tell you kind of how, what to do or how you should best, you know, utilize your career and that sort of thing. And so kind of that focus on being introspective and really taking time to just sit down and think about the things that you've done and what gives you energy and what the, again, those common threads that we talked about before, kind of the the commonalities throughout your career history to really be able to help guide you rather than I think she was absolutely spot on when she said that it sometimes gives you more confusion than help when you look to those external things. I mean, we've all talked about personality tests and you both know how much I love them.
Yeah.
And I do think that they are very helpful to be able to give you basic information about yourself, but you do have to just sit down and trust that you alone are going to know specifically where your strengths lie.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really good piece of advice.
I did too. You know, trust your instincts and pay attention to your energy because it's hard to sort through all the options you have.
Yeah.
But I thought her advice was very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I almost imagine that brag sheet as being sort of your like career journal, like
totally.
Your job
yeah.
journal. Like here's what I enjoyed today. Here's what was like I was getting into flow during this task, or I had
Dear
this like
diary.
Small no, accomplishment where I was like, I just had this really good brainstorm with Jessica and it felt so good.
Totally.
And like I wanna be a ideas person or whatever it is.
Or like
you know?
I brought something up in a meeting and the team responded really well and now we're going to implement it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we created an action plan for that.
Right.
And I was able to to lead that and spearhead that and now we're going to execute it. You know,
yeah.
those types of things are like so great because it does help you remember that you are doing great work and remember how
it gives you that direction and it gives you a reminder for your accomplishments for when you need to go back and update your resume and, you know, think about what you've accomplished in your job as you move forward. So it's sort of a double-edged sword and like awesome. I love that. I also liked what she was talking about in terms of telling your career story and like getting comfortable telling it and being comfortable and confident talking about your skills and what you have to offer. And that it's not an elevator pitch, but it's really just like being honest and truthful and consistent about who you are.
Yeah.
You know? That was
absolutely.
Just so refreshing.
It was.
Yeah.
And along those same lines, I liked that she mentioned to keep the focus sort of in the present. Use some history to give anecdotal facts and things like that, but focus on the present rather than going back and reminiscing about, you know, 20 years ago, you know, starting there and then going all the way through because like she said, that will take a long time and people want to know what are your focuses right now or what's your story about how you're – what are you focusing on right now and how can you help me, you know, in an interview? But like, I agree, being able to have kind of that, I think the succinctity, is that a word? Succinctity?
Succinctness.
Succinctness of an elevator pitch, but in a more compelling way with a career story, I think was good.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you brought up journaling, Becky, because when she was describing that, I thought of a career journal. And there's a fellow, Austin Kleon, who wrote a book called Steal Like an Artist.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
He is.
I follow his Instagram.
And he has one of his suggestions in that book is to keep a daily log and just set aside 5 or 10 minutes at the end of the day, not to do a diary or describe what you did that day, but just write down the highlights. And I don't know that you need to do that with your career every day, but if you have a process in place, you're going to not only feel good about yourself, but you're going to create that paper trail that of content you can repurpose for other things like resumes and LinkedIn profiles.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. Well, thank you both. And thank you, Mary, for joining us today. And you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Today's show was about the importance of finding the right fit in a job. And one of the most important steps you can take to make this happen is to know what you want to do next. If you're struggling with getting clear about your goals, you need to check out our new guide, Finding Focus in Your Job Search. You can download it now on the MaxList website. Go to maxlist.org/focus. Again, get your free step-by-step guide to setting goals today. Go to maxlist.org/focus. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Lauren McGoodwin. She'll explain why your self-worth is not your net worth. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.